Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our theme for today is world goodwill, and the Lucis Trust organization has a world goodwill newsletter, and we'll be speaking about that today and some of the topics within it, and I think that you'll find it as exciting as I do. There are so many good topics, such as freedom from fear is something that we would all like to experience. But world goodwill, I think that's the first step probably towards a wonderful world, one that we all maybe fantasize about, is just genuinely in our hearts, generating the feeling of goodness and goodwill towards our fellow men. I like this thought from Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. Lucis Trust sponsors this show, Inner Sight. And Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of books, and all of the dialogue on this show emanates from the works of Alice Bailey. And I quote, "Goodwill is the touchstone that will transform the world." And I think we'd like to explore that further, and I'd like to ask both Sarah and Dale, well, what is goodwill? Because I gave kind of a superficial definition of it. Let's go into more depth.
Goodwill is one of those words that we hear so much today, and yet I think for a lot of people it has a rather passive feel-good aspect to it, but perhaps may not strike people as something really dynamic and mobilizing. But in fact, goodwill is a dynamic spiritual energy that, as Alice Bailey said, can transform the world. And the organization called World Goodwill was formed in 1932 by Alice and Foster Bailey to give a platform to the work of people of goodwill and to show the public how widespread the men and women of goodwill are throughout the world, how active they are in their service to humanity. So what we try to do through World Goodwill is to highlight the work of these countless, perhaps at this point millions, of men and women of goodwill who are actively engaged in working for a better world. The media gives us a lot of news about what's wrong in the world, and they have to do that. That's part of their responsibility. But at the same time, it's important to know that there are a lot of people, a lot of groups working with the energy of goodwill to bring about lasting change.
Right, and goodwill, as you said, goodwill has maybe seemed like kind of a passive energy or a passive idea, but it's really a dynamic idea. It's really working with an energy of love, actually, because it is said in the writings of Alice Bailey that goodwill, actual expression of goodwill, is the first indication of that humanity is beginning to express this divine love of God. Mm-hmm. And goodwill is a genuine goodwill. The energy of goodwill is the first expression. It's what they're really capable of at the moment.
And I think it helps to point out examples to people so they get a sense of what we mean by goodwill, which can express through groups and through nations as well as individuals. One example, do you remember the earthquake in western Turkey last year?
Oh, certainly, yeah. That was tragic.
Yes, many thousands of people died. Mm-hmm. Well, Greece, which is a longtime enemy of Turkey, as I think most of us know, they've been at odds with each other for decades now. As soon as Greece was made aware of the earthquake, they sent teams of people to help in the Turkish towns and villages, and it was an extraordinary, spontaneous, unpremeditated response to real need. That's an example of goodwill mm-hmm. that can cross even ordinarily separated divisions between people and groups. There are probably lots of other examples that we could think of that are not just from past history, but in current life, where under extraordinary circumstances, people will respond with genuine love. The basis of goodwill is love.
Well, I think it also, this reminds me of something I read once, and I think it's very pertinent to this, and that is that if we're going to change the world, it has to start with us. And mm-hmm. what you're saying is that both of you have used the word genuine. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're saying, too, is that it has to come from the heart. We can actually look at us, not only a friend or someone close or a loved one, but even a stranger, and genuinely from our heart say, I wish him well, and mm-hmm. to really mean it. And I guess that's what you're saying. Is that true?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It has to be a natural response. It can't be forced or mm-hmm. Labored and still retain its energy. That's why sometimes crises or disasters bring forth an expression of goodwill that might not otherwise be there.
Yes, and it is an expression of the heart, of the awakening of the heart center, and of the love that flows through the heart, and particularly when it comes as a spontaneous reaction, then you know it's genuine. It's mm-hmm. not planned, it's not calculated, that I'm going to get rewarded if I do this and save this situation. But it comes as a genuine act of love. And I suppose the most recent one, you might say, is from the September 11th experience here in New York. The genuine goodwill and outpouring of goodwill and love in the aftermath of that terrible tragedy.
So what World Goodwill has done for the last 70 years is, through its newsletter, which is quarterly, and through occasional special papers that we call commentaries, and through the distribution of literature, all of which is offered at no charge because the work of World Goodwill is funded entirely by voluntary donations, where we don't have any endowment. Mm-hmm. But World Goodwill has worked to highlight the efforts of people of goodwill, to make people aware that goodwill is an energy that can bring about change, that goodwill is, in fact, the only energy that can really bring lasting, constructive change. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that the world is beginning to wake up to. You can have treaties and call truces and so on, but if there isn't real goodwill, it isn't lasting. And so we've worked very closely with the United Nations Department of Public Information over the years to help publicize the work of the United Nations and its agencies. That's one of the main objectives of World Goodwill. And we offer study courses on the problems of humanity with the idea of identifying the underlying causes behind the major problems. For example, the problems of the minorities, the problems of the children of the world, the problems of the religions. We try to help people identify the subjective underlying factors behind the outer problems.
And we might make the connection here, too, that World Goodwill is actually an activity of Lucis Trust. It's just one of the activities that we're engaged in. But it is, the Lucis Trust is kind of the overall umbrella for a number of activities, and World Goodwill is one of them.
So. And it's our work that's most oriented toward world affairs, you could say, toward current world problems.
Kind of our outreach kind of program.
But certainly standing behind what you're saying by the gift that you're giving today. We're going to offer, we're going to give the audience a gift, and we'd be very happy if you'd call up and order that gift. It's we'll talk more about it later, but it's the newsletter, and it's a wonderful newsletter. So many interesting topics. One of the topics that I especially enjoyed, Sarah, and stay with us because we'll talk more again how you can get that gift from us in a little while, but one of the topics, freedom from fear, I especially enjoyed, and I'd like our audience to read that because during these times we need that particular frame of consciousness to experience freedom of fear with all that's going on around us, all the circumstances that might be negative. But can you, in line with the newsletter or the theme of freedom, tell us more about the Lucis Trust concept of freedom.
Well, freedom is generally, I think, thought of as the liberty or license to permit a particular action or type of behavior. Mm-hmm. It releases you to do something that otherwise might be curtailed. I think that's how the traditional viewpoint of freedom would be thought of, as personal liberty. Mm-hmm. And goodness knows the American psyche prizes freedom above all other values. I think it's a national value that's deeply held, and rightly so. But the spiritual component of freedom is something quite different. And in the writings of Alice Bailey, which are brought out somewhat in this newsletter for World Goodwill, the view of freedom is linked to the ability to renounce or to sacrifice or to give up. That might seem odd, but in fact, if you think about it, only when people learn to share what they have, whether we're speaking of wealth or whatever, knowledge or experience or material abundance, only when people learn to share and to give up their claim on a whole lot of anything so that others may have some, only then can we really think about having a society that's that expresses freedom in a way that doesn't hurt some at the expense of others. Freedom is closely tied in with this ability to share and to renounce for the personal self. That's a spiritual component
right,
of freedom.
And another thing that is written in the Bailey books, that freedom is really a state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's and you have to really think about that. You have to put your mind around that. It's a state of mind. It's a state of thinking a way of thinking, and it's not necessarily a condition of our beingness, but.
Well, there's that wonderful book which comes to mind, and it usually, as is the case, my mind goes blank. It was written by a psychologist who spent a lot of time in a concentration camp during World War II, and who wrote about the freedom that he attained while he was imprisoned in this concentration camp. He died a couple of years ago. It's a classic text. Sorry, everybody, that I can't think of it. But you're right. He found only in the most limited circumstances what real freedom is.
Yes, because even in a prison situation, one can still have the freedom to think and to imagine and use your higher spiritual faculties,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the true freedom really begins to be known.
Freedom to think.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with outer walls or whatever.
Right. You can transcend the walls, actually, and if you sit quietly in your cell and use your mind to transcend.
You're saying then that even in the freest nation of the world, then that really the manacles of the mind, so to speak, are the ones that really imprison us. You can live in the freest country in the world, but if you place certain restrictions, certain limitations on yourself, if you have a self-image maybe that's not so good, that restricts you from reaching your highest potential, that those are the true restrictions and handcuffs that we place on our own being...
They're usually the hardest to identify. Yeah. I mean, I don't think most of us could identify where we are really restricted, where we really don't have freedom to think. We don't know how we are conditioned by our group, by our ideological viewpoint that we started imbibing at our parents' knees and through our school system, through our culture. We don't know where we are really constricted, do we? So that's why it's so hard to think freely, to get beyond these borders.
Yeah. Well, for those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and what we're speaking about today, our theme, is world goodwill. And Sarah and Dale both said that it generates genuinely from the heart. It has to come from deep within, and we have to really mean it, goodwill towards other people. And Sarah and Dale are standing behind their feelings of goodwill because they're giving you a gift today. And all you have to do is give us a call, and you can order that gift. And the gift is the World Goodwill Newsletter. And if you'd like to read that essay on freedom from fear, and there's so much other material in there that's extremely worthwhile reading, I think you'll come away with it with a better understanding of life, maybe even of yourself. But freedom of fear is something we all need. And if you'd like to read that article, along with the several other topics that are within the World Goodwill Newsletter, you can order that newsletter from Lucis Trust at the following number. It's a toll-free number. It's 1-866-695-8247. 1-866-695-8247. An easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S. That's 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And you can also... order the Alice Bailey books. They're very thought-provoking. Reading them, I know, has caused me to do a lot of soul-searching. And I've got a long way to go to finish 24 volumes. However, what I have read has caused me to really take a look at my inner being and question life. And I see things a lot differently after reading the works of Alice Bailey. So if you'd like to order the Alice Bailey books, you can certainly do so by calling that same toll-free number. And you can also order our cassettes. You can order a copy of this particular show or any of our other shows. Or if you'd like, by the way, another item that we'll be happy to give you, complimentary, for free, is the general package of information. It tells you about who we are, gives you a lot of information about the way we view life. And basically, who we are, we're, I guess, for lack of a better word, we're a spiritual philosophy organization. We explore life. We're not a religion. And we have people from all walks of life and backgrounds interested in Lucis Trust and the works of Alice Bailey. So by all means, give us a call. You can call us to order that general package of information if you'd like. We'll send that out to you, as well as the Goodwill, World Goodwill newsletter that we're speaking about today. Give us a call once again at 1-866-695-8247 or 1-866, same number, but an easier way to remember it. And that's 1-866-NY-LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S. Our website is www.lucistrust.org. And when you key into that website, you can see hear all of our previously archived library of shows that we've done, and we've done lots of them, and now we have titles for them, and you can certainly listen to those that you prefer, and I think you'll find them of great interest. Our email, newyork@lucistrust.org, and please remember that this show is funded by the generous donations of our listeners, and we need and welcome your support as a means of staying on the air. Let's continue our discussion on world goodwill. I think the world definitely needs a lot more of that than it's already got. Now, we were speaking about freedom and more or less analyzing what freedom is. And there's a difference from the literature that I've read, written by Alice Bailey. There's a difference between freedom from things and freedom to things. How is that clarified in the works of Alice Bailey?
Well, perhaps it's related to the four freedoms that Franklin Delano Roosevelt posited in the 1940s, which are mentioned in her books. He said that every human being has the need for four essential freedoms: freedom of speech and expression, freedom of worship, and then freedom from want and freedom from fear. Mm-hmm. There's the liberty to attain, to achieve, that we all experience. There's also the the need to be safe from certain things happening.
Yeah.
Both of them are a kind of security, I suppose. Freedom and security are very closely interlinked.
Mm-hmm. And I think as far as individuals are concerned, to be free from one's own glamours is very important to consider, too, because...
What do you mean by glamours, Dale?
Well, all the hang-ups that we have, the illusions that we carry around with us, and most of us wouldn't admit that we have any illusions, but they're distorted ways of looking at the world or distorted ways of thinking.
Most people probably think they see the world exactly as it is.
Well, I think that's part of the problem.
Hmm.
That our perception of is not always accurate, and we carry around these misperceptions and misunderstandings that actually are a block on our freedom, and they turn into what we call glamours. They're referred to in the Bailey writings as glamours and illusions, and to be free from those. It's not an easy thing, but it takes careful looking at oneself and being very honest with oneself.
I was thinking about that very point. How would you know if your thinking is really liberated or whether it's constricted? And it occurred to me that as we cultivate certain values, maybe we free up our thinking. One would be the cultivation of a real... genuine, again, goodwill towards other people. In other words, when you form a judgment or an opinion, you read the newspaper, you listen to the news, and you react with an opinion. We all do. Is it biased toward any particular groups within humanity, or is it expressing a real goodwill toward the fundamental nature of human beings, even as you look at wrong and even evil deeds? So goodwill would be one liberating factor. Another would be a positive viewpoint of life, believing that life is basically good and that human beings are good, rather than this very dark view of life that concludes the world, say, scary and frightful and unfair place.
Mm-hmm.
And a third that struck me would be the cultivation of inclusiveness, the ability to think in terms of humanity as a whole and to feel a connection with groups and people who might be very different from oneself, to not see them as alien.
Now, what you're describing seems to be the presence of the soul, the human soul, beginning to make a more of an impact on the person.
So the soul is what liberates the thinking.
Yes, it's the directing element, I think, that it directs us towards higher sense of values. And freedom really comes when that soul begins to make an impact and begins to influence our lives, influences the way you think, influences the way you act and the way you speak, and all of that is very much present, I think, when the soul is present and begins to... You can feel it in yourself when it begins to... when you begin to change your pattern of thinking.
But most of us probably think of freedom as personal liberty, the free, permissive expression of the separated self. Don't fence me in, is the cry of the personality. Let me do what I want, when I want, and don't get in my way, Buster.
isn't the concept of harmlessness tied in with the soul and also goodwill in a sense? Because since reading the Lucis Trust material, I've become obsessed with the theme of harmlessness. Any action that I make is this going to harm other people? And of course, Malice Bailey generates this idea that that's the way we create a better world. So everything I do now, will this harm other people, is my question. But aren't those three intertwined, harmlessness, the soul, and goodwill?
Yes.
Yeah.
The soul on its own level, which all of us belong to, you could say. We are all souls in some stage or another of expressing our highest best self. That highest best self is innately harmless because it is one with all souls. There is no my soul and your soul. It's simply the soul that unites us all. So how could it be harmful? And goodwill is the early stages, as you put it, of this fundamental love that unites people.
Yeah, and I think if you think back, I mean, I'm just trying to present a sort of a bigger picture here, and you think back, the idea of freedom, for example, is relatively new in human history. It's only been 200 or 300 years, let's say, since the Enlightenment, but the French Revolution and the American Revolution was definite expressions of this first indications of freedom and the desire for freedom in human life. And then the war, World War One and Two, and of course Franklin FDR's great proclamations of freedom, and Lincoln's the proclamation of the freeing of the slaves. These are all indications of this idea, the urge to freedom is coming through in human actions and human ideas, and it's leading us somewhere towards greater liberation. That's the ultimate stage down the road.
I don't think we know where it's leading us, but it's safe to say that we won't understand it until we really keep in mind that it's a value and aspiration that is shared by every human being. You cannot think in terms of your own need for freedom, your own people's need for freedom, without realizing that everybody has that urge. For example, I don't see how the conflict in the Middle East can ever be solved until all of the people involved and the rest of the world who stand by and observe realize that all those souls want freedom. They all want the freedom for their children to grow up in peace and with a better life. When we begin to see this about our fellow men, even when we disagree with them, we know they have those same values, maybe then we can find some common ground. It's a start. The alternative of villainizing people hasn't worked.
No, the common ground is the human soul. That's where we all come together, and that sense of oneness has begun to be realized.
Well, you know, once again, at this point, if you'd like our gift, we're sending you a free copy of the World Goodwill Newsletter, which has a number of interesting essays in it, articles. One that I enjoyed most is the article called Freedom from Fear. If you'd like that, give us a call, and we'll be happy to send that out to you, along with, if you'd like it, our general package of information. Call us at 1-866-695-8247 if you'd like to have us send that out to you. Or the easy way to remember, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.